Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me, a podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies. I'm Justin Scranton.
Oh, it's a bottle.
It's a bottle.
I'm Shane Smith.
Yeah, this is a great episode today. We're going to talk about little people, leprechauns, in honor of the great American holiday, St. Patrick's
Day. Oh, good. Day. Yeah, and let's just say that we did not bring our guest on because he's an expert on little people.
No.
But I am 5'8".
So. Right.
Are you really?
You're tall enough to donate sperm. Ooh. I found out I'm not.
Right. How tall are you?
5'6".
Are you really?
And they do a hard no. Hmm. If you want to make a little extra cash, you're like, the plasma place is over there.
You know what's cool though? I'm 5'8", which isn't tall, but I was fully grown in middle school. So I was tall for like a solid four years of my life. Yeah.
So it's like one of those people that literally peaked in middle school.
I was awesome at basketball. And then I went to high school and was like, I give up on this.
Yeah, brutal.
Well, that voice that may sound a little unfamiliar to you is none other than local Raleigh comic and friend Chris Rivoli. Welcome to the podcast, Chris. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to talk about leprechauns and see how we get sidetracked into the other
conversation.
Don't worry.
Exactly. This is an easily sidetracked. And if you're listening, this is not a patron episode, but if you join our Patreon, you get a bonus episode.
Every week.
And we've had some bangers lately.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. Drink a lot. We've liked them.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got some... We keep saying that we have big news. It's like we're a stock pump and dump scheme.
We're tune in next week.
We got some big news. Yeah, so but we do have some big news coming. We can't say anything about it yet. And then we'll have something maybe for our local fans in Raleigh.
Okay.
In terms of a live show. So just stick around.
I'm gonna be just as surprised as you. I feel like Justin's handling all the work and I'll just show up and be like, this is great.
But you gotta be a patron to come to the live show.
I gotta sign up. All right. I guess so. Well,
Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank
it's good
thank
to have you.
You.
Are you a conspiracy theory fan or do you just sort of, you're young?
Yeah, I like conspiracy theories. I'm not super into them. I could name the ones that you guys have definitely covered. Like when I was in college, I was a communication major, not trying to brag, but I took a class where we had a small unit on conspiracies.
Oh, wow.
So, once again, not trying to brag, but I did write a 10-page paper on the JFK assassination, which has nothing to do with leprechauns. But you never know.
We should have asked you that before we had you.
He was Irish. He was Irish.
Yeah, so I wrote that 10-page paper in 2 days, and I managed to get a decent grade on it. But you know, whatever.
Not an A.
I think I got a B on it. Yeah, so just good enough. That was how I was all college. I was like, if I could get
most
Bs.
Most people don't tell those stories where they just got a B. Pretty good.
I could have lied and said I got an A, and you guys would be like, nah.
So, I would have believed it.
Now, I am of Irish descent, predominantly Irish. I mean, I'm kind of that typical Anglo mutt. But you're Italian. You're not Irish.
100% Italian, okay. Yep. I still get along with the Irish, though. We didn't for a long time. Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the ironies of the sort of homogenous nature of being white.
Well, because you guys would outdrink us, and then you could fight better as well. Yeah, so we really didn't appreciate both of those. But
objectively, I think Italians are better looking people, especially their women. Compared to Irish women.
Oh, I don't know.
I would say it's close, but I will give you that. Yeah.
Do you not think that there's like a sort of a...
I think the closer you get towards the equator, you know, you just have healthier skin.
That's what I think. I think it's... The farther you get away...
Further north you are, the more potato-like.
There's like... You'll see a dude who's from the far north that's just gorgeous. You're like, that's like a Norse guy.
Yeah, he's an alien.
That's true. I think the Irish have more fun, though.
We are true. Fun people.
You guys know how to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Italians know how to have a good time too, but it's very much like you either get it or you don't get it. And with Irish people, it's like, no, everyone gets along. Yeah. We're all going to pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Well, this is as you guys can probably figure it out because it's about leprechaun. It ties into the Irish American holiday of St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up relatively soon. Now,
is it only an American holiday?
Well, I think that when you think of St. Patrick's Day, like they don't celebrate it quite the same in Ireland.
Like, say like Cinco de Mayo, like Americans do it, right?
Yeah. We take the holidays and make them what they're supposed to be about, which is drinking. Yeah. Not an Irish saint that wasn't from Ireland, and it's not a religious holiday.
Right.
My grandmother called it amateur night, which I thought was great. Oh, that
makes sense, yeah.
Because it's just people pretend to be Irish.
Because every day is St. Paddy's Day to the real Irish.
That's right, yeah. He's our patron saint.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's just a really a big excuse to drink. I mean, there's probably certain really Irish dense parts of the country, like parts of Boston, where St. Patrick's Day has some real significant meaning in terms of the culture and heritage of being Irish. But for most people, it's just drinking.
Oh, the probably top 10 most drunk I've ever been have been in college on St. Patrick's Day. That's in college. Yes. You guys went to college, right?
Yeah,
that's known as like, you're not going to class next day.
It's brutal. For sure.
It's And, the, like, and it's all day.
Yeah, you know, it's an all day drunk. Yeah. It's a wake up and drink, which is the best.
I can't do it.
Kind of drinking in my mind. When I go from coffee to alcohol, that's my favorite drinking days.
Mm.
I'd rather drink hard until like 6 p.m. From like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Rather than go and stay up till like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
4 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm old too, but even when I was younger, that was my favorite.
I like a noon to 2. Just real drunk.
Then
you can get drunk and then you really aren't that hungover the next day.
It's great.
And you can go pretty hard.
And you can nap and then go to sleep. So you get double
sleep. But why not just start after breakfast? Yeah, why not have a cup of coffee and then throw some Baileys
Speaking of breakfast, I cannot even explain to you how many times my brain has tried to riff about Lucky Charms. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I've literally thought about Lucky Charms at least 5 times. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it.
I went. Do you guys go to the Irish, the St. Patrick's Day parade here in Raleigh? Have you ever been? We usually go. It's not great. It's not great because, again, it's not the only Irish thing about it is they have all the schools that teach Celtic dance come out. It's terrible. And then the Irish Wolfhounds march every year. But other than that, it's no different than the Christmas parade.
Just
the colors are just a little different, right? Mm. But I will say, there's Patio Beers, which is a Raleigh place that is kind of Irish because it has an O in its name.
Yeah,
that's the name Patio Beers.
Patio.
Yeah.
That's a great, name. No,
Patio,
I need to go though.
Patio Beers.
That's great.
And I took my kids. My wife was out of town. I was like, let's go to the parade. It's an easy thing for a dad, right? And we got a corner spot, great spot. I was there super early. And I started drinking at Patio Beers.
Nice.
And you always know you're in a bit of a pickle when the bartender's like, you're going to be okay.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And I'm like, I had like 6 pints and I had 3 kids. And I was like, there's no way I can drive at this point. And that's kind of St. Patrick's Day to me.
Nice, yeah.
And I think that leprechauns are certainly wrapped up in what we kind of just sort of quintessentially think about the Irish.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know, which you probably do, the Irish lore on leprechauns is that they are actually a race of diminutive persons who generally wear all green, and they tend to hoard gold. And if you catch them, they either grant you their gold or they'll give you wishes. Now, I didn't know this, but outside of their skin, outside of their clothing binds them to their leprechaun form.
It's like grafted.
No, it's like when they wear that, if they take that off, they can shapeshift.
Oh.
So it's like somehow the clothing kind of keeps them in that.
It's like Spanx.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they take it off, like, you are not a leprechaun. You are 3 times as wide as you are tall, sir.
Now, here's the thing. According to Irish law, there are 236 official leprechauns remaining in Ireland, and they live in the Cooley Mount area at Slate Rock in County Louth.
Okay.
Now, each year on the second Sunday of May, there is an annual Carlingford National Leprechaun Hunt. And in 2009, the 236 leprechauns were awarded protection under the European Habitats Directive. So they're
an endangered species.
They are officially a protected endangered species.
You got to save them.
Yeah, let's bring them back like the buffalo in Yellowstone.
Well, I'm like, well, how do you got
coyotes?
Did you see about that? Apparently there's some congressman from Montana that's like, he killed a mountain lion, like one of the 7 left. Yeah. And he was like, well.
Shot him?
Yeah, no, he shot. Like, it's like, and it wasn't even like, it was so bad because the dogs treed the mountain lion.
Oh, so it ran up the trees. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they treated it. And it was outside of Yellowstone, right outside. And then they called the congressman like, yeah, we got one. So then he drove and shot it so he could, you know, frame
that.
I like how I asked if he shot him as if he was just strolling in the woods and was like, I just decided to wrestle him like that could ever happen.
Yeah.
Downlines are terrifying.
They're terrifying. And there's not a lot of them left.
Really?
Six, in fact.
Well, now six. No, I think that's juvenile. Juvenile males apparently are the most rare.
Oh, okay.
Because the women stay near the male protector. Mm. The juveniles sort of try to grow up in a cruel world.
Right, try to move to the big city. A lot like
leprechauns. Mm-hmm. Leprechauns have a... now, let me just explain this to you, how it came to be that the government knew there were 236 leprechauns in Ireland and that they are a protected species. It grew out of the most famous, if not controversial, leprechaun find in Irish history. It happened in 1989 when a pub keeper stumbled on the skeletal remains of a leprechaun.
Oh, was it in a trap?
No, it was on the side.
Like
it was
on, like, oh,
it was
shit.
It was on the side of a road. He was out looking for a garden that someone was trying to buy in the area, and he found the full skeletal remains of a small person. He found a green top and bottom and a little cap and some tiny shoes.
And a diploma from the University of Notre Dame.
And four gold coins.
And some boxing gloves.
And he sent the bones and the coins off for examination, and the coins were very mysterious. They were not of typical Irish.
And he's sure they didn't send them back like weird. These were plastic, and they're like, a lot of gold coins we got now.
Yeah,
no, they were chocolate in the middle.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There was also a small photo of Conor McGregor. There was, for some reason. Yeah.
Well, if you go find this video of this guy, I mean, you can find it pretty easy. The bones are like, the first thing you notice about the bones is that the skull is jacked. I mean, it looks like a raccoon, like it's just elongated.
Oh, weird.
With just like crazy teeth. But if you ever see depictions of leprechauns, they're not very friendly. Like they're a pretty nasty looking creature. They got really sharp teeth, jagged, sharp teeth.
Yeah, I've just seen the 80s movie, and that's why I base it on.
I never saw it. Was Leprechaun. Was it scary at all?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, that's it.
But they tried. Was it supposed to be a scary 90s movie?
I don't know. It was supposed to be. It was like a campy horror movie.
Well,
the leprechaun. You don't remember that?
So when this, I do remember. Yeah.
There you go.
So well, when the last leprechaun whisperer of Ireland heard about this, is a real dude. His name is Kevin McCullough Woods. He decided to go out and find these leprechauns. He instituted this hunt, which I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it's a hunt every second Sunday in May. Get a bunch of people. We're going to go out and try to find leprechauns because this guy, Kevin McCullough Woods, he believed that these things were real and he could talk to them. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened from 1990 until 2002. No signs of anything.
And they went out every second Sunday.
Every second Sunday.
Which is bad to do that because then the leprechauns know when you're coming.
You got to.
Surprise attack. Sneak attack.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, switch it up every now and then.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
I don't know, man. That one leprechaun kept selling the same cereal. He didn't ever switch it up to
Cheerio. He was the one that actually got found. He's like, well, I'm getting a job out of this.
Yeah. in 2002, though, this guy, Kevin Woods, on the hunt, he found more of the same coins. Mm. Now, not only did he find them, he said that the coins gave him powers where he could communicate telepathically with the elder leprechaun who lived in the mountain. And his name was Carrig. He communicated with him, and that guy said, look, there's about 236 of us living in here. You guys just protect us, and we'll be good neighbors to y'all. Right. And so that's how it's been going since. And every once in a while, the village wakes up, and there's hundreds of miniature cauldrons that have been left by the leprechauns as a thank you. Tiny little handmade cauldron.
That's a shit gift. I mean, come on.
Right.
Like, give me something I can use. I got to make a flan. Like, it's a tiny single flan.
A tiny little cauldron.
Yeah.
The most, like, right, the least useful shaped pot,
right?
Generally speaking,
yeah.
Like it made sense if you're cooking on an open fire, but we don't have that problem because we have stoves,
right? Yeah,
and then it's tiny.
It's a different time.
Different time.
We have it made, dude.
We do.
We really do. Stoves.
Yeah. Remember when all you had was a tiny cauldron?
Oh my god, stoves and air fryers. Don't get me started, dude.
Oh man.
Oh, we love our air fryer. So good.
I could go on and on about an air fryer.
Now this idea of a race of small people that live inside of a mountain.
Did we ever specify how small are they?
Not yet. We're going to get to like what technically this
better not be 5'6". I'd be so mad.
No, I'll tell you that.
Turns out you're the same height as both of us.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I would say that it's not an isolated phenomenon. And so I'm always, whenever there's folklore that transcends cultural boundaries, I think it lends itself to the question of like, is there some truth to it, at least that needs to be explored? Like
right.
How would this, especially when it's shared by cultures that don't overlap in sort of time and space, right? Mm-hmm. So we see this type of folklore in Greece, in the Philippines, in Hawaii, New Zealand, the Native Americans. I will say that it happens a lot on island nations. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Because like
it?
You could move there, and I think there was, my friend suggested a book about ancient civilizations, and God, what was it called? I'm not good with books. anyway, I made it three chapters in, and they said that early humans, the ones that evolved, would make it somewhere. And then if they had no reason to get taller, they got smaller.
They got smaller, right?
Mm. So I think that I would do that.
That's I'd be one of those leprechauns. All animals on islands. Like it's as food supply and space gets smaller, oftentimes the animal population will get smaller. And in fact, not long ago, they found in 2003 the remains of a distinct humanoid different from Homo sapien that they found the remains on an island. They would later find like 20 or so of these people that are 3'7" in height was the average height of these people.
Okay.
And this was an entire race of, I forget what they called them. They had a really cool name. But in any case, they determined that these were actually different than humans. These were not Homo sapiens who went to an island and got smaller. These were something different than humans. And I don't even think that's what we're talking about with leprechauns and all these other people.
Right.
I think that's just a different evolutionary path. And there were 9 different types of humans back like a million years ago.
Like the Denisovians and
the crazy names. So I think that's different. And I also want to say that we're not talking about the most familiar form of little people, which is, I think, dwarfism,
right?
Which is a genetic mutation,
right? That's what this is not.
I do not, and I'll tell you why. This was crazy to me. I did not know this, but in dwarfism, you can carry it and not have it, and if your parents have it, right, you usually get it from one parent and not the other. Mm. Usually from the father, right? So your father's a carrier, he can pass it. If both parents have it, which generally means that they're both dwarfs, and they both pass it, baby's done. Not viable.
Oh, wow.
So you can't be pure dwarf.
I had no idea.
So you have to.
So you couldn't really be a...
Yeah, so it's like...
Can't be 100%.
Right, which is why I'm saying like whatever that genetic code is, it's something that cannot sustain itself into a full-blown we all are always giving birth to genetically similar. That doesn't really happen.
Crazy,
right?
Okay,
so whatever we're talking about is something like completely different from this, right? Now common traits across the globe of these people. Right.
Slurring of words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, a little bit, right?
Yeah, probably.
A little different. I mean, you think, because it's not just their size, their vocal cords are...
Everything's different. Real more high-pitched voice.
High-pitched voice.
Probably very energetic, sporadic.
Very energetic, very mischievous.
Definitely short-tempered.
Yeah.
You tend to be a little feisty.
You guys are describing me.
Yeah.
Describing right here.
This is cave dwellers.
Yep.
They almost always dwell in caves or inside mountains.
Okay.
They are often very human-like, with the exception of the skull. The skull tends to be where we see the most anomalies, whether that's like horns. Sometimes they have horns. Sometimes they have that elongated jaw. Sometimes they have a big head. Like,
right.
I was thinking the opposite direction, kind of like a Hey Arnold character.
Oh, yeah,
with the head going out more.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, possibly. Yeah, I mean, but definitely lots of the descriptions are like they have the exact same body as a human, but their head is like full size. Right.
Does that mean we have small heads?
I thought we had like really big heads.
Yeah, I thought we did too.
Compared to other primates, don't we have like big heads?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
it's not a scientific podcast. It's not. There's no science really about anything we talk about.
Well, in the 1800s, long before like great conspiracy theories like Roswell and Area 51 and all that stuff came about, newspapers across the country were abuzz about the discovery of a mass grave in Tennessee of tiny skeletons about 3 feet tall.
Wild.
So they stumbled across these, and it was all over the newspapers, and it was all the rage, right? And Cherokee, who were the dominant Native American tribe in North Carolina and Tennessee, this sort of southeastern, they had long tradition of stories that talked about there being this like race of small people that populated the area, that lived in the caves and were always causing mischief. And
were people excited? They were excited about this like pit. They're like, hey, come on, man. We just found a pit, a tiny dead people. Come check this out. You guys, we can sell tickets.
They're so small.
They're so small. Look at this. Look at I'm not a huge man, but look, it's much tinier than me.
Ain't no way they played on the Tennessee Titans.
No way. Can you imagine what if they had a little basketball team? How short are those goals?
We just found 500 water boys for the Tennessee Titans in one grave.
One grave.
Yeah, I don't know why there was always this is not the only mass grave scenario with these tiny people. Like were they just wiped out? Or were they?
Maybe they just weren't. They were looking at their phones, and they all fell in the same hole and died.
They had phones in the 1800s.
I don't know what they had, but I'm saying they were distracted. Maybe they got a.
Well, let's confront the elephant in the room. Now we don't want to be mean, but we're trying to figure out the truth here. Do you think they were ever bullied?
Yeah, absolutely.
They had to have been bullied.
Yeah, but I think that
maybe that's why they ended in a grave. It was just a really good bullying.
But really good bullying. They weren't getting swirlies. They were getting some intense hazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we talk about them being mischievous, like, and feisty, this idea of, like, this feisty little troll, like, I mean, like, that fits into this long history that short men tend to have this sort of temper and, like, this sort of complex,
it's called a little man syndrome.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, like, that might go into it, but also then it's like, at some point, did the people that were average size and above just realized, like, why are we afraid of these little?
Yeah, you just kick them.
Yeah, just punt them into this hole. Yeah.
They were definitely plotting stuff, though. They were like cats, for sure. They were, they knew they were small, but they would figure something out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Knocking their water glasses over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poisoning people. Too.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to think that, like, at some point, you know what? Here's one thing that I will say is that. And nowhere did I read in any of my research where there was any kind of like peaceful coexistence.
Right.
There's never a point where you just hear stories of like, oh, we live here and the little people.
It's not like a Mac and Me situation anywhere.
They were like, this is our cave.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is our cave.
It's like, I guess you're bigger. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always like, they keep to themselves. They cause us mischief. They're hard to find. If you do find them. Or they're just known for like they're hoarding gold and these type of things.
Right.
So now in one of the most famous of these is that a group of boys were it sounds like Stand By Me, a Like they were on a sort
in,
of
they
a
were
walk
in search
about,
for a dead leprechaun.
The dead leprechaun on the tracks.
Well, it's kind of is. They were like on walkabout in Scotland, and they stumbled across a collection of tiny figures in tiny coffins.
Saw these just recently.
Yeah. They were somewhere on the internet recently, and like these tiny miniature coffins, and people were like, what would be the purpose of showcasing these like tiny figures in these ornate coffins?
Probably just a tiny coffin store.
I don't
probably.
Know.
Probably. It probably was, but it's a very old coffin store.
Sure. For some reason, the thought of a skeleton is less scary to me than the thought of a small coffin. Small coffin to me is somewhat more terrifying than finding just a small skeleton.
Right, because it makes you feel bad about
they are
killing
creepy.
Those little people.
Yes.
Because you know that, they have a belief system.
Right.
And they probably have a god.
And then they also had to have taken a lot of time to make that small coffin. Because they were like, well, we got all these normal coffins. They can't use that. They got to make an extra really small one.
They only needed one big coffin to make all those
That is
ones.
True.
So that's actually
and they chose not to do that. They're like, no, we're going to make small ones.
Small. Yeah.
And the tools are so
small
cute.
Coffins are creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever... I
actually have not seen one. That's why I brought it up, though, because I was trying to picture one, and it seemed very weird.
Yeah,
I have a cousin who died very young, as a baby. And I went to the funeral. It was like graveside, like lowered the small coffin in.
Crazy.
And I can still see it to this day, how small that coffin was.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. They're creepy. That's something you...
Yeah.
Has there ever been a scary movie with small coffins? Why have they not put that in?
I don't know. It sounds like
it seems like they should do.
Sounds like an HBO show.
Yeah,
like,
we have
like a search party, but small coffins.
Yeah. Is there even a show about a coffin maker? That's a great show.
What's that called?
I would think so. If I had to guess,
A coffin maker.
Huh. I don't know.
It doesn't have to be a word.
Like a cobbler's shoes. So it probably is. Something crazy. It doesn't even make sense.
Well, there's
sense.
A bunch of shows about like grave diggers, right?
Yeah.
And all grave robbing is.
Grave robbing, yeah.
Yeah. Are there grave robbing shows? Like I said,
what a
fun
great
reality show.
Yeah, what a great reality show.
Who can find
show.
The most loot?
Yeah, well, this actually is a great segue into our next sort of wrinkle in all of this, because it does involve a very famous instance of grave robbing. Mm. And also, I would say, probably the most peculiar skeleton found in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
It was found in Chile, and it was a tiny human with a massive elongated skull.
Is this an Atacama something?
Yes,
something like that?
It is. It is this. So sometime if
Hell
you're...
yeah, Shane.
Yeah.
Get in there.
I read it on the internet.
If you're into this, it was a mystery because it looks just like a human being with a giant head, but it's like 2.5-3 feet tall. Yeah, pull it up.
Yeah, I'm
so
pulling
we're talking... So a small body with a giant head.
Giant, like, alien-looking head. Like, as soon as the pictures came out, and it was a grave rob situation.
Wow.
Right? And it was, like, straight grave rob. And then, of course, when you see it, you're going to be like...
Wow.
Yeah, what?
Oh, my goodness. That's real?
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
Let me see that. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a good... It's good, like,
see, this is
project.
What I love about the internet, where there's photos that you'll see, and you're like, how am I just now seeing
right,
this?
Yeah.
Have you known about that?
Yeah.
It's been around for a while.
But it's like when I go to, like, any website about finance, like, wait, someone can plan how to deal with your money? I'm spending my time looking at, well, this skeleton's 3 feet tall.
You ever see
an alien.
Small body with a big head, though?
But have you? And it's like, have you seen a bank account with money in it? No, but...
Sir, file your taxes.
Well, this picture that you saw quickly circulated. Now, a guy just dug up this grave, found this thing, and took pictures of it. Was like, what the hell is this? And of course, the alien community was like, finally, we have proof.
Now they that's ours.
Could you imagine dying and you're like, I'm still getting roasted?
Yeah, I know,
you're
right?
Just on
yeah,
all
over like
the
alien,
front
bro.
Page of the internet, and you're like, this still has to go on. They look at his big ass head. Yeah. Look at his big head.
What planet are you from, kid?
Well, the scientists were like, we're going to take a look at this thing, and I should pause here and say that like they did genome sequencing on it, and I will. It is one of the most controversial things in that sphere of academia in some time, because one is that like people were like, wait a second, so somebody robbed a grave, and then you guys took it to write papers for your academic careers on.
Like, yeah, that's got to be confusing.
Yeah, like, it's like we're not talking about an ancient. Right. We're talking about these are people who still live, and like you just dug up their daughter's grave.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
So they're like, that's not cool. The other thing that's not cool is like every time we dig up a non-European skeleton that doesn't fit our Western views of how a person should look, we always explain that it must be like some
an alien
or a hybrid.
Yeah, it's like, the Egyptians couldn't have built those pyramids, man. They weren't smart enough. It had to have been aliens. It's
right.
Like, what if they were smart enough?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, why is it that every time that we see this, it's some like indigenous brown person that
They're like, it was an alien. And you're like, we literally took it out of a coffin.
Made of wood. It wasn't alien space tech.
Yeah,
whatever.
But the interesting thing, though,
his initials are engraved in the thing.
Is that the genetic testing came back, and scientists were like, "Well, we found human DNA in there, so that's a human." Like, and they were kind of like, "That's it. It's a human." And then other scientists, and the one that they liked the most, he said, yeah, that's right. There's human DNA. There's that sharing DNA that is human. He's like, but the mutations in the cells is so bizarre and so complex that it's like nothing that we've ever seen before.
Right.
So much so, and this is what the guy said. He said, so much so that if it were an alien, it would make more sense than what we're seeing.
That's what I like.
Now,
how many years are we talking to in the past?
This thing was found in like
2015 or something. I don't know.
Not that. I think it was like 2009 or something. Okay. Like it was pretty recent.
But they dated it back to how many years ago did they say?
Oh, I don't know how. Yeah.
They
found it like that. Yeah. It wasn't that old. The South Americans had they used to like elongate their skulls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now.
All right. You're poking holes in our research.
They think it was a child aged 6 to 8 years.
Yeah, they think it was a kid.
2003. Mm-hmm. It says it was old. 15 centimeters.
Tiny. Very tiny.
They say it was like basically like a tiny little child, which, you know, one of my things I'm most ashamed of in life, is I went to the state fair in North Carolina. And I don't know, you grew up here.
So every year.
So,
yeah.
One
he's
year,
Italian, me, he's not crazy.
My buddies and I had to work there. we were like, let's go see all the freak shows. And so we were just freak show after freak show after freak show. And one of them was like the world's shortest lady.
And one of them was Chris Rivlin.
That was your job.
So we went in and saw her, and I I've been to strip clubs.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've done that.
It is. You realize that you've exploited a person, and she was tiny.
Yes. And she doesn't look happy to be there.
She does not look
at
happy.
All.
At all.
No. It's definitely not. I mean, she knows she's obviously getting paid, but the second you walk out of there, you're like, A, I kind of regret doing that.
Yes.
B, there's no way that's good for
consensual.
A person. Yeah, there's not, no way.
Lock eyes. Don't.
Yeah. Like I remember like realizing this overwhelming flood of guilt. And I'd said, are you okay? Like, do you like
to yourself in the mirror? Oh, to her.
To her.
It's like, also just however much money you get paid, it's not worth it. Like, could you imagine if someone was like, here's the deal. We're going to give you $1,000 and you're going to sit in a room and for an entire day, thousands of people are going to walk in and they're going to go, Jesus.
Yeah,
and then
what
leave
the fuck?
Over and over and over.
I can't
again.
Imagine.
Over again.
It just has to be drugs.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe. I can't imagine another way.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
I mean, obviously people are in like indentured servitude situations where they have no way to leave. But I can't imagine a fair that's on like the state's radar like that would do that. But maybe they would.
Well, we're adults too. So we at least probably repressed some of our emotions. But anyone who did that in middle school, they were full emotions outward. There's no controlling that in middle school.
Yeah, yeah. That's like when you see a dead body for the first time on the internet and you're like, ooh. My God! But after a while, you're like, "This is a Tuesday."
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember there was a guy who was Crackhead Johnny or something real basic like that. But the whole freak show was that he was a normal kid until he got addicted to crack.
Thanks, Dare.
And like this guy just used to shove nails up his nose, and he was just a crackhead in a cage. Crazy. And
committed,
they used to just have
to the game.
Had a.
Did you do a "Where is he now" thing? What if he's like a billionaire?
Yeah, that probably. Yeah, man, the old school '80s '90s state fair was.
Oh,
blatant
racist. I thought
Chris was like, oh, I know.
My bad. I thought you were, the reason why I jumped in was because I thought you were going to say the 80s, 90s state fair was so much fun.
It went
south.
Can I get a round of applause, everyone? All right, get on my high. We all know how essential the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is for that precise trim below the waist. Their advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts to your most delicate areas. But now you can enhance your perfect grooming routine with their ultra-premium collection. This package includes Manscaped Premium Deodorant, not for your balls, for your stanky armpits. It dries clear, it's aluminum-free, and it smells like their signature scent. Hydrating body moisturizer? Have tattoos or issues with dry skin? Well, this is designed to keep your skin feeling clean, smooth, and smelling fresh. Body wash to lather you up with their infused aloe vera and sea salt shower gel. 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner to clean your scalp with one easy step. Plus, a free gift. A 3-pack set of lip balm that's made up with ingredients such as vitamin E, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil to keep those chappers feeling moist. That's 4 products. Plus, a gift is inside the Ultra Premium Collection. What a score. All these products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, vegan friendly, and dye-free. The best ingredients with zero compromise. I'd recommend using the products in this order. Hop in the shower and scrub-a-dub-dub that body with the Manscaped Body Wash. 2, lather up your hair with a 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner to keep your noggin toggin. 3, dry off and spray the hydrating body moisturizer to reinvigorate your dry skin. 4, put on that Manscaped deodorant for obvious reason, because you stink. 5, pop that Manscaped lip balm on your lips. No one is out there kissing chapped up lips. Getting dressed after is optional. Wear one great scent all day long. Get that ultra premium collection hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. The power of attraction is now in a bottle, thanks to Manscaped.
I mean, I remember in like I was in high school in the 90s, we were at war with Iraq, and you could get like pay a dollar and they would give you a gun with paintball rifle.
Yeah.
And you could just shoot at Saddam, a guy dressed up as Saddam Hussein. Yeah. And you would just shoot at him for a few minutes, and you're just tagging this guy in the head. And
well, you've probably done this. They did at Coney Island, they had Shoot the Freak. And it was like an alley. It was like an old burned out place between two buildings on the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. And it was like Shoot the Freak, and they would just give you a paintball gun, and a dude would run around and you'd shoot.
Heard about that. I never did that, but that is wild that people would do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the world that we...
They would also do this thing in Coney Island where they would just shoot anyone, anywhere. You would just go to Coney Island.
Do you like that? I was like,
that actually wasn't at the fair. That was just in Coney Island.
I like that you're probably like, I've actually never been to New York. I'm Italian, but thank you for assuming.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Where are you from? I'm
actually, so I was born on Long Island in Garden City, which is just like in the middle of Long Island. I only lived there until I was about 5, and then I've been in the Cary, Raleigh area ever since.
Okay. So you grew up, but
with the exception of UNCW for college, shout out. So. It's weird though, because this is my home. I consider this my home, but every year since we moved from New York, we always go back so often. So I still every year get to see my old house, and like, so things start coming back more, but this is definitely my home for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering how often you went to Coney Island.
Oh, so. Never.
Never.
My parents were from Brooklyn though. Are from Brooklyn.
I just want to say that this woman that I probably saw at the state fair. Well, I
saw her too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Well, I think whatever this
her name's this Martha
skull. Yeah. The skull they found, the skeleton they found is probably something like that. It was, it was a child version of this, like incredibly tiny. I mean, I cannot stress to you how tiny this person was. I mean, I think like a foot and a half.
It wasn't mirrors. Wasn't tricks.
No.
Yeah. Can you imagine your wardrobe costs? All custom.
Yeah, we keep talking about short people. Have you guys ever gone over Bigfoot? You had to have. Or
We need to do it again. For sure.
Yeah. He's great. He's one of our. Yeah. He's a buddy.
Nice.
Well,
patron. He's a patron.
Oh, nice.
So here's. I want to just pivot here for a second. and lay out some theories about what this all could possibly mean.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you guys something to think about, and then we'll see if we
can. As to why they're so small?
No, as to what all this means. Like, okay. Let me finish with the Chilean skeleton. People say it's human, but then these guys come along and say, well, look, yeah, it's human, but it's not like any other human who we've ever done any genome testing of.
Right.
Its body is completely mutated. Its skeleton is completely deformed in a way that we've never seen before. It's not from elongation. Its bone structure is different. Like, it's a complete, if it's a human, it's a completely different type of human we've ever seen. Hmm. Right. And it lends itself back to the theory that they're like, could there possibly have been races of little people that coexisted with humans at various points in history that gave birth to the folklore? Now, whether there's 236 of them remaining in a safe house in Ireland is less interesting to me than, like, did these things exist at some point? Is the folklore rooted in some grain of truth?
Right.
And to me, and we've gotten to this crossroads before, there's a few possible answers for this. One, I'm going to just say this first. It could all be a hoax. I mean, all of it could be a hoax. Mm-hmm.
Got to sell those movies and books.
I mean, there's so many people that, I mean, this guy, this pub keeper could be like, oh, I know how to get a bit of people out here to the country. Oh, yeah.
You are Irish.
Yeah, that was good.
That's the best accent we've heard on the pod.
Yeah, that's what my, just talking like my uncles. Yeah. And I said, we make some green clothes and with some small shoes, we'll have a bunch of people coming out here.
Pretty good gig.
So yeah, that's what it could be, is it could just be a hoax in many cases. There's a really famous hoax. I don't know if you guys know about this. These girls went out to play. They came back to their parents and were like, can we borrow the camera? And it was like mid early 20th century England.
Okay.
So a camera was pretty rare. So then they were like, yeah, that we could borrow it. So then they went out and they took pictures of this fairy that they had communicated with.
Oh yeah. These are famous shots.
Yeah. And they came back and they developed these photographs. England went nuts. And like, it was a huge controversy. It was only later, like on her deathbed, that one of them was like, yeah, we just took cutouts from a coloring book that we had and like staged these photos. I mean, it's like early Photoshop.
Original, what were they photos of?
Like these little like Tinkerbell like fairies that and then like there's pictures of them like talking to them, but like, I mean, the girls were like they did a good enough job, and there were people that thought they were fake and it was a hoax, but it was a wide enough hoax that like people to this day, yeah, that's them.
Oh, wow. Let me see this.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good fake for like the 40s.
Good. Isn't it crazy how like if you could go back in time to like the 30s, 40s and just show them Photoshop for 15 minutes, you could literally end a society.
I think we talked about that in our last episode. We were like, what one thing would you bring back? I think Sean Murphy, was it him there? Posed it or was it you?
Sean Murphy posed.
Yeah.
I was like, bring a camera back.
Yeah. Just if you could bring one thing back to the past to prove that you're from the future. What would you bring?
This is so off topic, but it's the one in there terms is of
that,
it,
no such okay, thing on good. This.
This isn't a conspiracy, but I enjoy watching it for some reason. There's YouTube this. I forget the exact date, but it's very, very early 1900s. If you go on YouTube and type in like New York City, I think it's 1912, 1913, but I guess it's the first video camera ever. And they literally just set it in Times Square. And you can, dude, it's on, I watch it.
And they've upscaled it, right? So it looks like awesome. Like
yeah. And 4K. It's like, I keep watching it because it's so trippy to watch. But it's literally just people walking in New York City.
In 1913.
Walking. They're also aware that there's a camera there. So like they walk and they're all wearing suits because it's the 20s. And they like stop and they're like, what is that? But they got to go to work or whatever. So they're like, whatever. And they keep walking and everyone's, it's so crazy to watch.
It's crazy. But it's so,
you've seen it?
Yeah. But it's also with those, it feels like, it doesn't feel old.
Right.
Cause you're like, this is just normal. These are human behaviors you're seeing on the street.
Yeah. I don't know. To me though, it does feel old to me though. Cause I don't know if you watch like the way, I don't know. There's something about their body movements. It just looks like, oh, these are different people. It's wild to me. So,
this guy has one leg, man.
Yeah, dude, that was normal back then. People would just have one leg. They would just hobble around.
It was actually more common than two. Yeah. And then we evolved.
What a day when you wore a hat.
Everyone was wearing hats. Everyone was wearing hats.
I have a hat on now, yeah. Even the little kids have hats on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everyone's got black on. You know why they wore black?
Mm.
It's because the soot.
Soot was just hid the soot.
All the soot from the chimneys and stuff.
Oh, so they were not black suits, but they became.
Well, they bought black because everything else would get stained. So
that was my guess. Yeah,
everyone wore black because there was shit everywhere.
That's why I wear brown pants.
Am I right? Yeah. And a diaper.
Okay. Well, aside from the hoax factor, mm-hmm. one theory is that this is a different species that we sort of like what we talked about that sort of died off. That at some point in history, there was a smaller version of what we think of as a human mm-hmm. that lived in various places, mostly in island nations, but they would have traveled as well. That could possibly be it.
Smaller planes, smaller boats. I like these people.
Another theory is that this is nothing more than just sort of misunderstood dwarfism like we have today. This mm-hmm. like genetic thing that just happens. We don't understand really why. It's something to do with human growth hormone and in the infant stage and that.
Okay. So you're saying either it was just like a very rare occasion or there was actually a society of these people that died down.
Right, yeah.
Or in the ways that lepers formed colonies, right, where they could, coexist in some sense of peace without the shame of being a leper, that leprechauns may have maybe we just get together and hang out.
So they were criminals, but leper criminals. Leprechauns. Leprechauns.
They would cut you up, man.
They would.
Yeah. Don't touch them.
Yeah, don't.
Stay away.
Don't make your arms and legs fall off like old New York.
Man, are leprechaun jokes, leprosy jokes, are those PC? I mean, is that back?
They never go out of style.
No.
They'll fall off, but they'll come back. Hey.
The other theory that I really like, though, is that these might be some sort of interdimensional creature.
Mm, now I'm on board.
Right?
This is where we go deep.
The last two, I think, are the most interesting. It's like, we've talked before, Chris, on this podcast about the theory that's known as a thin space. And what a thin space means is that our dimension of existence sort of, has this sort of time-space structure to it. But it abuts up next to another dimension, right? Infinite number of dimensions. And there are places where those dimensions sort of collide and they abut up and rubbing together a little bit. That's sort of a bad metaphor, but that's just sort of, there's a thin place where the two dimensions can go off and rub back and forth.
It's like if your sock has a hole in it, it's a thin place. Like it starts to
both
form
of those were
of
good.
Friction.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
So what happens in thin places is one dimension spills into the other and vice versa. And we see these thin places sometimes, like whenever you think of like a mythical, magical place, like Stonehenge is a thin place because there's interdimensional travel going on somewhat accidentally. A haunted castle could be a thin place. Some people think that really traumatic events can create a thin place between dimensions. And that's why ghosts sort of come and go,
right?
Which are really ghosts are just something from another dimension in the wrong place, right? Just if you found yourself suddenly in the wrong dimension, you might yell and scream.
If I found myself at an Olive Garden,
something like that. I'm not your family. This is, you call this lasagna?
Yeah. Yeah, it's your version of Hotel California.
People who are listening right now that don't understand how Italian I am will never appreciate that joke, but it's okay. I forgive you all. Follow me on Instagram, at Chris Rivoli.
Yeah, you have a very funny TikTok, too, that's been getting shared a lot, so check them out.
Appreciate it.
Well, I think that if there's an explanation that someday will survive scientific scrutiny, it's the interdimensional theory.
Yeah.
That Bigfoot and other cryptoids are residents of a alternative dimension that at times in various weird ways, caves seem to be common places, magnetism that we find in caves, whatever the science will be like, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. These things sort of flow into our universe and our reality.
Here'd be a good segue. shout out, because I was just talking to my uncle about this like a month ago. So he has a theory kind of similar to this. We were talking about art. So think about like the best art of all time. So we're talking the Beatles, mm-hmm. best comedians of all time, Richard Pryor, anything that's just the best.
The best.
That to the point where you're like, how is something, so best rappers, musicians, any, yeah. everything. My uncle has a theory of people who are that good at things. How do I explain this? They're so good at something because it's a reminder that we were here before.
Oh, interesting.
And they figured out how to tap into us being here, living infinite lives,
right,
infinity never endings. And that's how they're so good at it, because it's like you have this ability to remember the past of everything. Yeah. There's also, if you have a, on Earth in this life, if you have a traumatic day, sometimes exactly a year later, you're like feeling like shit, but you can't remember why. And then it hits you and you're like, oh shit, it was this time last year.
So I should keep a journal?
Yes.
I'm going to start bullet journaling.
Yeah.
This is crazy. There's something else in my life that happened recently that said traumatic events or moments of big stress are the only catalyst that like change your life. And those moments of big stress are what are common among our lives, mm-hmm. our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So that kind of ties to what you're talking about, how the past and the present can affect your day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, aside from the interdimensional view, which I think is my favorite, and I do think it's the one that would...
There it is. Yeah.
I'm learning.
would survive the scrutiny of science if anyone were. There's another theory that I think is really fascinating. Okay. So I'm going to go back and just talk about what we think about these little people. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're small in stature.
Yep.
They have abnormal skulls, mm-hmm. oftentimes with horns or features protruding from their skulls.
Okay, right? Cute as a button.
They are reclusive. That mm-hmm. they are mischievous. Does that start at all to sound like what we typically think of as like the little green men that were so prominent in early alien lore?
Oh.
Like the idea of like this leprechauns, these green men who are very reclusive, live in caves, have these big elongated heads, antennas, but horns, like for a long period of time, all alien sightings were like little green men.
Yeah.
So like, there's a theory that what we're talking about, all these cultures we're talking about, was one of the many alien races that have habited this planet for some time, and maybe are still here in some cases, but aliens definitely showed an affinity for mining, which would explain why these little people often are associated with mining, right? Now, also remember that that the clothing for leprechauns acted sort of as a prison almost. Like once they were in this clothing, they were not able to shapeshift. But outside of that,
it's like an ankle bracelet.
Right. It's like a way of like it's almost like house elves in Hogwarts were like a piece of clothing frees them. This works the opposite. Like they're all like, in other words, I think aliens often are described as shapeshifters. Maybe there's something that was like, they were slaves who worked mines because aliens were mining, and these are what they brought with them to mine the minerals of the earth. When that mission left, some of those slaves were, these slave aliens were left behind.
And
they sort of lived out the remainder of their lives. And maybe, and this is the thing that like probably is controversial, and I'm going to say it, I mean it in like just the complete sort of spitball conspiracy idea, is that we don't understand where dwarfism comes from in all genetic disorders are a bit baffling, right? Like I have an old genetic disorder called Dupuytren's contracture, which affects a very small percentage of Scotch Irish men from a very specific DNA profile, right? Like everyone who has Dupuytren's contracture, we could find our common lineage pretty quick. But they don't understand why. They're like, why? Like, why do we have these genetic anomalies that seem to be like DNA from something that's just gone or doesn't serve any purpose? What if like these small diminutive aliens bred with humans.
Yeah, that's a...
Or some sort of like early version of humans. Mm-hmm. And that DNA, because remember I said about the DNA is weird? Like if two of them come together, like the baby cannot, it's not viable.
Right, it's like two, was it two donkeys?
Yeah, right. They can't, well, no.
What is it? A mule? What's the one?
A mule's a donkey and a horse. But two mules but can't breed.
That's what I'm saying. Two mules can't breed. There you go. Just compare short people to mules. Don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
It's talking about science, guys. Maybe
that's why there's this weird genetic profile for it.
Could you imagine if we all stormed Area 51, thousands of us, and we finally just filmed it and put it on TV, and we were like, oh, it was all leprechauns.
These guys are nuts.
Like, no. But they're wicked good at inventing spaceships.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Tiny hands. They're doing all your advanced technology.
Doing their smelting in tiny cauldrons.
It'd be easier to travel through space, too.
That's true.
Smaller, yeah. Cover ground.
How funny would it be if some factory in America was just cranking out quality products, outperforming China, and people are like, American manufacturing is back, buddy.
Yeah.
And it just turns out to be just an enslaved race of leprechauns.
Yeah,
like
that's
Willy Wonka.
Wonka vision.
It's just like these tiny little people making electronics, and we're like, yeah, that's the secret.
Well, what if that's how they died off? When let's say there was a giant society of them, and then what it turned into was they were like, listen, go get me some dinner, and they were like, no, and they're like, well, you're gonna do this,
right?
Because I'm twice your size, right. And then it just became of like, do this too, and then it's just hazing.
Tried to unionize, and they're like, you're dead to us now.
Yeah, it's true.
You know that there are stories that also persist in folklore that there are giants.
Oh yeah,
like lots of giant show. What if the giants are just
people?
Right.
The giant folklore came from the original little people.
Right. So like Goliath is like, my name's Mark.
That I definitely believe, because there's already people still today that are 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Giant. Yeah. And that's still today. So who knows, back then, someone was 9 feet tall.
You think giants were even bigger than 8 feet?
Like I think if today we're still seeing 8 feet, there easily could have been 12, 13 feet.
Yeah, and was there more oxygen back then?
I mean, they would have lived till 15.
That's better than, 15 back then was probably
their goal. Right. I just want to get as old as my height. That's all I want.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean.
Could you imagine being 7 and just being taller than the president or if whatever was at the time the leader
the
of
king.
The king
We always hire we always select the tallest person as king for sure.
I mean,
but bigger than that one.
I'll say that I think of that I said the other one is the one that would survive scientific scrutiny. I do like the alien theory leprechauns the most, because I have, over the time of doing this podcast, I have become convinced that there has been some involvement by intelligent life other than what originated here in our history. Like, there is some history here that involves creatures that did not originate on this planet. I don't know exactly what that is. So whenever I hear about something that could possibly be another species that thrived here at some point before humans, that always resonates with me as a possibility.
Yeah. Of us breeding with someone who came here from another planet.
Or them manipulating our DNA.
Or something, I mean, I think that the general theory is that what we think of as humans, the evolution of primates, that between the primate and the Homo sapien, there was some involvement of something, right? There was some, the missing link as evolutionists call it, but like, did some much more intelligent creature breed or use our DNA or, something?
Right. Yes. That you really nailed it. That was a mind fuck for me.
I think that, it sort of just sort of makes sense. And then all of a sudden, all the stories from all the cultures that talk about little people.
Yeah, well, damn aliens.
All right, here's a question. Do you think we'll ever get to the point in society where Because right now, everyone, a lot of this is just like, what if? We're never going to know. There's so much we'll never know. Do you think we'll ever be smart enough to live in a society where we're like, we have figured it out. This is how we got here. This is where we're going. This is what's happening. Is it possible to ever get to that point?
You know, no.
It's the grass is always greener. Because when you get the greener grass, you're like, I'm not going to pay for this grass. Right. I wish I had no grass in my yard and just
rocks. Feel like even if an angel came down from the sky in a giant ship and was like, all right, here's the deal. People would still be like, nah.
Yeah, because they'd be like, you have wings. Why don't you just fly down? He's like, because I like ship travel.
There's just a never-ending cycle of exploit. That's probably why no one's showed up yet. They were like, I'm gonna travel here and then I have to get trolled by a YouTuber.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing that's is really important is that when we think about archaeological history, is that if you take our culture and you destroy it like instantly, right? Catastrophic destruction of everything we know in
life. Like you invent Facebook.
Which is also so scary how easy that is.
There's a comet coming that's going to be like 17 miles from us, and they're like, it's not going to hit us. It's only going to be.
And millions of people are just still making cold calls, not thinking about it.
They don't care.
So. But if it happened, right, and then 100,000 or make it 1 million years go by and the remnants of life now thrive again and people are like, well, I found this in my backyard, right? The story that you concoct about our world is going to be based upon the handful of remains that are found. Mm-hmm. And it is going to leave out all the nuance of our culture.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right? Like you're not going to think about in America in 2022, how important like trans culture seems from like a political cultural phenomenon. That's not going to survive history in terms of like they're not going to say there was a thriving and growing trans culture in the early part of the 20th.
Right. They'll be like, man, that pyramid shaped Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop in Memphis is cool. They must have been real smart.
These were agrarian people that lived in large cities, but still lived an agrarian lifestyle based on farming. You're going to paint with the broadest strokes, and so the idea that like a tiny person got kind of left out of the
easily. Have you ever heard the idea that let's say hypothetically everyone on this planet died except for like 200 people. Mm-hmm. So let's just say right now there's 200 of us alive. How many things do you think we would be able to reinvent?
None.
Yeah, like literally not a lot. No. Not a lot. That, yeah. Yeah. No, really we, no. Not a lot.
I was thinking about it. We're sitting here, we're using electrics to power our microphones. I have contacts in my eyes. You think I'll make contacts?
Right.
No, we're dead.
90% of the things we use, we have no idea how to make.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea how they work.
I can't even make a pizza.
I don't even make them.
Yeah.
I can't make a simple thing. How many people could not make a fire?
Yeah, a lot.
Like I would say half of all Americans could not start a fire.
Oh, anytime I play that game, like at work, those icebreaker games, like, okay.
Never have I ever made a fire.
Or if the four of us were stranded on an island, who would die first? Every time I'm always like, I would die first. I would die. I would always.
Oh,
if
kill
the three of us were on an
first.
Island, yeah. I would die first by 1,000,000%.
Yeah, you think?
Easily. Yeah.
I would do all right.
Point blank.
As long as it's not hot.
I would kill.
See, I would be able to survive if it was hot.
Like, I can't.
I
do
would
it.
Kill Chris. And Chris. Survive off Chris for
right.
A while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you find the weakest link, kill him.
Yeah. I'm a good morale builder. People have to keep me around.
It'd be funny. The court jester.
Yeah, but then if I'm bitching, they're like, if I can kill this guy.
I'd be like, all right, guys, it's so long. And Shane's like, no, man, you could do it. Here, yeah, man, you want a coconut? I've got an extra one.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have marinara in it.
Fucking Italians.
Yeah, I think that we lose. Like, I think that, like, if we were talking about 1,000,000 years ago, like, I just don't know that, like, archaeologically we would have the understanding of the complexity and nuance of an advanced world. I mean, dinosaurs. People are like, you've butchered the Velociraptor. Oh, yeah. Like, paleontologists argue about like some guy in the 50s draws a picture of a T-Rex and then we're stuck with that photo. And the guys are like, we don't think that's at all what they look like.
It's almost like when the person that drew gender roles for the first time and we're like, you got to stick to these things.
Yeah, like that's that. Yeah, yeah.
Those are 3,500
years ago. Yeah. You made up these rules.
Yeah, and I don't see any feathers on these things.
Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what we're saying is that there just could have been, there can be a very vast lost history buried a million years ago.
Sure.
It's just
how much there's also, I was going to say how much you think is left. There's also so much history we have, like, we'll just never know about.
Oh, no, no, right. Ever. Most of it.
Yeah. Most of it most we'll of never it. Know about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Most of yet tomorrow, most of yesterday is lost by today.
Most of today, I don't know.
Right. I mean, like, it's most of history is lost immediately.
You know what I think about often? This always freaks me out. The ocean really freaks me out.
Yeah.
So, and I always, the idea, you ever have thoughts where they freak you out, but you love thinking about it?
Yeah.
This is one of them. Okay. If you drained the ocean, mm-hmm. you would find, forget, like, you would find the craziest stuff, dude. Because you're talking about everything that's been thrown in there since the beginning of time.
Right.
Ships, like, just all the ships that have sank. Like, swords, boxes of whatever.
Fishing is what we need to do down there.
It freaks me out, but I'm also, I find that so intriguing.
But also, just know that a lot of where we're standing right now was underwater.
Underwater.
And that all you gotta do is dig down and you might find something.
That's true. And also, if you could drain the ocean and the things that are in there right now that you could sell for, we're talking billions of dollars.
Sure.
Billions. Yeah. Did you see that? There was an article, I think a couple years ago, some guy was scuba diving. He found a sword from like thousands of years ago.
Right.
That it's crazy.
Not corroded? Like,
no, it was eroded, but they did all the research and stuff. It was literally thousands of years old, and crazy. It was a sword.
That's amazing.
So we should start putting swords in the ocean and telling our kids.
I have a knife in the other room that I found at the beach, and it's covered in barnacles and stuff. I posted that on Instagram. People are like, that's a piece of poop. And I'm like, this is a steak knife from at least 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This is also
sucks too, because it's like there's really not that much of a difference between what you found and what that guy found. It's just like a couple hundred years.
Yeah. In the scheme of things, it's not long.
I found a giant bullet from a military ship, all covered in crustaceans and stuff. Like, not crustaceans, but like barnacles and stuff. It was awesome. I love finding. I found a lot.
Don't you hate it when you go through your house and you're like, "Oh, I found a comic book from 1992. This is worth a lot of money." And you go on Google and it's like, "Yeah, there's just 50,000."
No one cares. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you do find something that's I mean, I don't know. I think I've found, I have a lot of old Coca-Cola memorabilia. Most of it is
with cocaine in it.
Yeah.
With cocaine. Man. Yeah. And most of it's like, you know, $2, $3. And then I found one. It's a tray depicting like a very Southern Belle looking over her shoulder. And it's like, Coca-Cola, it's delicious.
Yeah.
And it's worth a lot of, it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I did not.
You got to sell that shit because it'll go back down.
I always find it funny when there's like some painting that's like thousands of years old and it's just like scribbling and it's like $3.7 million it was sold for. Yeah. It's just like, all right.
Well, it's not about art. It's about hiding your money somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the
crazy. It was old. It was an old painting.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that what we're all talking about gets back to the topic, which is that, like, could there possibly be something old that's been just lost? Yeah. And so when evidence presents itself, right, science and pop culture, for that matter, has a hard time assimilating it in the way that you're like, I don't understand how this thing could be worth so much money. Right. I don't understand how this skeletal remains could give evidence to an entire race of people, because that would require such a shift in our understanding of humanity, because then we have to say, well, where did this race come from?
Right.
Like, how, like,
yeah.
As soon as we have to shift entirely and say, well, maybe we are not the only people that populated here. Maybe there's something more going on. As soon as you introduce this idea of an unknown, it's just really threatening. And that's why I just think that there's probably more here, that leprechauns probably have some, like, sort of stake in reality.
Yeah.
As they, like, multiple cultures have talked about little people, that I think that there's probably is something to it, whether that's an interdimensional travel, whether it's aliens, whether it's just the origination of the dwarf gene that we still persist in our culture now. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think it's real.
It's okay. Kind of cool too. I was thinking about this. It's going to be really cool. Like people hundreds of years in the future, in terms of studying people today, they're going to be able to, like, people can literally listen to this like 500 years in the future. It's right. Going to be kind of crazy to think about. Like, if you think about it, how cool would it be if you could listen to a podcast from like the 70s?
Right.
Oh, right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It'd be, or like if it, yeah. you could listen, imagine listening if it was possible. Think about how trippy that'd be if you could listen to a podcast from like 1850. I mean, we really wouldn't understand.
It's like finding a diary from like the 1700s.
Yeah. Right.
It's
like, almost like we should start a new podcast where we just do it. Every episode is a different period of time.
And we have to do the accent and everything.
Have to do the fucking, all of it.
I like your feathers.
Jolly good query, that's Mary. Cool.
I saw a weird black box on the street today, and I just walked past. It was on a tripod, and... That was the film we watched earlier from New York. He had no idea he was being filmed.
I'm down to three teeth. That's all I got left. Right,
yeah.
yeah. That's your final thought?
That's my final thought. All right,
you want to do your final thought? You want me to do my final thought?
You go.
Okay,
you go,
so here's what I think. Guys, I figured this out. You guys fucking think you're so smart with your ideas. Here's what it is. Leprechauns were real. They were small people. They existed for a long time, but they are all dead. And here's how I know this. Gold used to be the currency we all use to do our daily commerce, right? Okay. I think one day the tall people figured it out, and they said, we're going to put all our gold in a box, and we're going to issue paper money. And the minute that happened, leprechauns couldn't get gold anymore. And they lost their passion, their will to live, because they couldn't get gold anymore.
Sounds like a genocide.
And they died. Because we issued paper money. So thank you to the Rothschilds and the U.S. Reserve Bank.
This sounds like a, this sounds like the execution of a race.
No, well, they just lost their passion. It's like if like we all just stopped liking comedy, comedy would die.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you think, well, yeah, I've always thought the gold hoarding sounded like, you know those stories about raccoons, how like if you put a shiny object inside of a box, a raccoon will stick his paw through and he'll grab it, but he won't let it go, so his hand can't get out of the box, and you can catch him. That's how you catch raccoons.
Oh, wow.
Live
that's
raccoons.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And I've always thought it had a very kind of like almost unfortunate tone to it, the way that like you could catch leprechauns with gold or a real racist edge,
but yeah.
a racist towards a mythological race of...
Right.
Little people.
Right, yeah.
When did you figure out that raccoon fact?
well, I read about it.
They kept stealing my gold.
And
made a box.
Oh, no, not. What is the book about? Where the Red Fern Grows.
Yeah.
Okay.
I first read about it there, but then I did eventually realize it is a true fact.
Wow. Crazy.
Interesting.
Those dumbass raccoons.
Dumbass raccoons. My final thought is raccoons. Raccoons were real, they were here. Leprechauns were real. They were small. They had big heads, small bodies, and we didn't talk about this at all. But it was in the back of my head. They were funny.
They were.
They were comics.
Funny, dude. They were funny for sure.
Dude, this is a great take.
If you're going to be that small with a big head, you got to have a sense of humor.
That's again, I feel like you're just talking about me.
There's no way they weren't funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good take, man.
Yeah,
they survived. The ones that survived by making people laugh.
And as hacky as this sounds, comedy is kind of a survival skill in a way.
It's a great take that some of them, I mean, everything we've said is not, all these could be, they're not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. All these could be true.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think you're right. Like the ones that survived, they just prosper because like, you know, women will date a guy that's really short if he's funny, if he makes her laugh.
Kevin Hart's literally 5'4".
Yeah, he's tiny.
Yeah.
And he's I'm just saying, like, that's how you get your genes into the big people gene pool.
Yeah.
Is you just make them laugh. And they're like, he's so funny. I just love it. So cute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really hope he's 5'4". He's 5'4", 5'5", something like that.
He's really tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, he's small.
Yeah.
Hilarious, though.
A lot of Hollywood stars are
I was thinking the opposite, man.
There's dude, because
you were just talking about Dan Soder. He walked on stage. I was like, Damn, he's dude, that's tall. A big
Dan Soder's tall. Big. He's but, tall. But think about Hollywood though.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
There's some short.
You know who's also really tall? Andrew Santino is really tall. Oh, yeah, he's tall.
A very tall guy.
When I saw him, I was like, damn, you're tall. I didn't realize how tall he was.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, that's the other end of the spectrum, though, right? Like, yeah. These giants are like.
And speaking of Irish, Santino's Irish.
Yeah.
He's got to be, what, 6'4"?
You guys, we got a new podcast. Who's taller, Irish? you know who else
Des
is tall
Bryant,
and Irish?
Des Bryant. Yeah. Tall and Irish. Well, look, this has been super fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks,
and,
guys.
And before we get out of here, Chris, how can people find you, follow you, see you perform live, listen to your podcast? What do they got?
Thank you so much. Instagram at Chris Rivoli, TikTok at Chris Rivoli. I perform stand-up at Good Nights in Raleigh, sometimes Dead Crow in Wilmington, and then you can follow my podcast, Who's Taller? No, a podcast, Rants with Riv. Check it out, Spotify and iTunes.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for showing up. This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Conspiracy Beer Me.
And we're also Chris Rivoli.
Peace.
Peace.